You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Issa Martel. Today is Wednesday, the 19th of Rabi Athani in the Islamic year of 1443, which corresponds to November 24th, 2021. So, I just noticed there's some like feedback sound in my headphones, and I hope that doesn't come up in the audio. But I mentioned last time, if you listened all the way to the end, that I got a new job, and let's see. I thought I'd talk about it because it's pretty interesting. I work for Metro Transit, which is the transit organization of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. And I got promoted to the position of Supervisor Transit Control Center with the Metropolitan Council's Metro Transit Control Center Bus Transportation Department. The effective date of your transfer is Saturday, November 27th, 2021. The terms and conditions of this position are covered under the Transit Managers and Supervisors Associate Labor Agreement. The position, blah, 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 blah. So that's my official letter, yeah. So, that's it. I'm done being on the streets, inshallah, for now. And I had tried. So what this position is, you work, you're a supervisor, and you work in this building called the Transit Control Center. And inside there, I don't know how, it wouldn't be control, because you're controlling, but you're not really controlling. What it is like a place on buses. They have radios. It looks like a phone, but it's actually a radio. It has a phone handset, though. the World War II radios. And if you were to pick up that radio and hit the call button, it would call it would call the control center. So that's what happens. And then inside the control center are supervisors, which is what I'm going to be now, where you would tell them what's going on or whatever, and then their job essentially is to solve whatever problem that's going on and use the means of other Metro Transit departments to solve it or come up with an idea or whatever. Basically, but that's your job, is to solve the problem that's going on. So it's, I'm looking forward to it. And this had been a multi-year challenge to get into this department. There's now, with the people they just hired, I think they said there's like 29 people, 29 supervisors. Everyone's a supervisor there, too. So you're a supervisor or higher in the chain. And the police, you're by the police and everything like that. So, yeah, it's 29 people. I think they said their total is now. And because part of the job is dispatching the police, Metro Transit has its own police department, like most transit agencies do. A lot of the people that get hired there come from county dispatch, like 911 or something like that, because they have that knowledge. And when you apply for jobs, it's a government job. My whole company is, so you have to apply on the government.gov, whatever that website is that has every government job on it. But if you've ever applied to anything like this, you probably understand how the language and the questioning and the process goes. So with the scoring of your application, dictates who basically gets hired. So everything's scored. So you'll fill out the application on the website, and generally they'll have some questions you got to answer then too. And with your work history and education and how you answer these questions, it all gets a score. And then they'll say like 50 people applied. Out of those 50, they'll get like the average, whatever the average score is of that pool of people. So it's relative. You doing well can also be relative to who else applied. So once they have that like median score, then they'll like take the top 30% of them, and those people move on to the next section, which in this case is the assessment test. Then you get the score from the assessment test, like that pool of people gets cut down again to maybe 10 people that they're going to interview, you know, and then out of those 10 people, that'll get maybe cut down again to, you know, maybe 5 people for the second interview. And then out of those 5 people, those are the people that get hired. So I had applied. So I've been working for Metro Transit for 8 years. And if you happen to be listening to this and live in Minneapolis or St. Paul and ride public transportation, there is a high likelihood that you probably ran into me, especially if you are a inner city resident who rides like up and down Lake Street, like daily, or in St. Paul, like Payne Avenue, Maplewood, Robert Street, South St. Paul, East Side, West Side, Maplewood, every place. You know, if you are a regular transit user, probably 90% chance you know who I am if you were to see me. So, you know, I have this type of experience. I worked 8 years there, right? And during this, when I first started, I had came from working, I worked for Little Debbie, but prior to that, I had worked in asset protection for Walmart, and I also lived, and I was a supervisor in elsewhere, let's say. So during the first week of your new hire as a bus operator in Metro Transit, you kind of get a tour of everything, and the control center happens to be in like across the street from the training center, which is in Minneapolis by the tower. They call it the big Metro Transit center that's being built. It's now multiple buildings by the Twins baseball stadium. So if you kind of have an idea of any of this, that's where it all goes down. But so in your your new hire, like the first week, you get a tour, which goes over to the control center. And that was my first exposure to this. And kind of at that point, I was like, I want to work here. This is where I want to work. I don't really want to drive the bus. This is it. So for this whole time of working there, I would apply to the control center every time and a position would come up, and it's not a lot, maybe like one every year and a half, maybe, or 2 years, they'll go
So right this, it might be like 2 years because I just got hired now, but the previous people they hired was right when COVID was starting. So it was like in the winter, like of that, like January of 2019, I guess, was when they hired the last two people. So you see how long the time period takes. And it's just due to the small amount of people. So getting in is kind of like a thing. So I had been applying every time they posted. And in the beginning, I wouldn't get anything. Like, it would just be like, your application has been received or whatever. And I started doing stuff, more things at my job and everything, which kind of developed into my initial score getting more and more. And then the Met Council has this program, which it was called the Leadership Academy, but I see posters up for it now, and I think they might have changed the name. But it's for Met Council employees only, but they run kind of like this mini university, and you can take their classes, and then they're kind of all geared specifically for the Met Council. So they'll give classes that'll better develop you for positions that are specific for the Met Council. So then when you, if you complete this program, at the end of it, you'll get to check a year of supervisory experience in the job that you're applying for, which is like when you're filling out the application is a huge check to check that box. And part of this program is for 6 months you work as like a whatever position you are trying to go for. So when you apply in this Leadership Academy, you can apply and try to do the 6 month, it's called on the job, OJE, on job experience, I guess. You can do this 6 months, you have to check. So like the choices are assistant manager, street supervisor, safety specialist, the control center, the mechanic supervisor. I think there's maybe one or two other ones too, or might be rail supervisor. But all the positions are in the same pay department. So everyone's the same. It's like all the supervisors and lower management are all in the same chunk of category, which is separate than like the drivers and the mechanics. And they're two separate unions, actually. So I did it at the control center, and did my 6 month training there. So that gave me the experience then, and it's like direct experience. So that ended during COVID. I did that whole thing about it ended in like I think April of 2020 is when I finished all that. So now it came to this time, you know, so now they're hiring. I had applied for it the last time, but I didn't make a high enough score to get to the assessment test, right? Based on the way the scoring ladder thing goes. And I was like, yo, well, I'm here. I was literally like doing the OJE in the control center when they hired the other people or where they were doing this process. And I was like, this kind of still throws me, but I'll explain it. Why didn't I get this? And HR told me at the time that all that stuff I was doing didn't count because I wasn't complete yet. So I was kind of like, all right, that sounds a little fishy to me, but it's the way this scoring system works, and I really I don't like it. You have to, I just don't like the way the score, I don't like the process because it's, I mean, like how, this is a perfect example, is how can somebody else be better qualified for the job when you're training someone directly to do the job and is working there? That's where I kind of think it's like, eh. And yeah, they do say, you know, you're not guaranteed, you know, they cover their butt by, you know, saying you're not guaranteed to get a job, you know, or whatever. It just helps improve your chances or whatnot. So whatnot, whatever. It was a legit excuse, though. So if those numbers weren't factored in because I wasn't, I was like, okay, whatever. So now we come to this time. So this was it here. And just so you know, I had been applying for other jobs in the same level. Like I had applied for a street supervisor and assistant manager. We have a bunch of assistant managers in every garage. So, and I had interviewed for both of those positions. Basically, I score enough to interview for generally whatever I apply for now. So, you know, I do have that experience. It's not like I'm trying to apply for something that's way out of my pay grade or anything. So, it comes up to now. And I applied and they were hiring four people, right? So, I did everything, got to the interviews, the second interview, and that was it. And then I'm waiting for the results. So this process like started in maybe July or September. So it's a long process to go through all like the application and hiring process. It takes like 2 or 3 months of going because first, you know, they have the cutoff date of the application ends. Then like a week or two later, they do the first cut of people. And so then those, after they cut those, they got to send everyone to go to take the assessment test. So that may take like 2 or 3 more weeks to get done. And then that gets cut. And then they have to set up the interview. So you can see it's like, it adds up the time. It's a time-consuming process. So we're now, I did all that. You know, pretty much everyone is like, yeah, there's a real good chance that you're going to get hired. And, or didn't, you're going to get picked, especially with hiring four people. And so what happened was I didn't get selected. So I was really upset. I mean, I was like, I wasn't shocked because I wasn't shocked of getting rejected because, I mean, I never got accepted. So the rejection of the hiring thing, you know, is the normal. So it wasn't like I was, you know, like, yeah, I got this job or whatever. So I knew to kind of keep like a level head about it in that respect. But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's kind of hopeful. You don't want to get your hopes up too much, but in the scheme of things, you know, when you're looking at it, it's like, okay, well, this is the person who he was there for 6 months with them. They taught him how to do the job, you know, so it seems kind of like a shoo-in that everybody who does this program would get it. Now, it's not, though, because when they just hired the batch of ATM assistant manager, ATM assistant transit manager, I guess that stands for, they didn't hire any of the OJEs, and they had probably four of them in the pool or whatever that was applying that did the assistant manager OJE. So, you know, it isn't guaranteed, yeah, but you can see how it does give you a big advantage. And so everyone thought, like my manager, I do dispatching at our garage. The head dispatcher was like, oh yeah, you're going, you know, everyone that kind of knew who I was and, you know, that I associated with kind of figured. So it was pretty shocking to everyone when I didn't get picked and they were hiring 4 people. And I was like, really, like, what the heck? And this type of thing. And I sent an email to HR and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, like, you know anything? What's up? And she's like, I don't, you know, I'm not the one that's selected. I don't know. And then I waited like 2 or 3 weeks. And then I was like, did they ever post who got hired? You know, I explained again. And she was like, nah. She was like, maybe talk to the manager, or your manager or something. And so I did. I talked to my manager. And my manager was just nice. I mean, and she, you know, just was like, more detailed explain the scoring process because she does interviews, so she knows how the scoring works and whatever, you know. So it was really disappointing. And this is why, like, after I talked with a bunch of people, and the thing is that, like I said, you have to do police dispatching. So if you have that experience, it scores high. And I don't have that experience, but I have every other experience that they're looking for. And even when you do the leadership academy and you're in the control center working with them, due to the way, like, laws, liability law type of thing, is that you can't do the police dispatching. So you can't, like, speak to the police over the radio. But so when I was there, I didn't get to do that. And I, during that aspect, when my trainer had to do police shifts, I would be with him, but typing and doing the computer part. But he was actually technically talking to them. So I would never be able, whoever these 4 other people were, scored higher than me, and most likely it was, maybe they had the same type of experience in everything else, but they also had dispatching experience, which would give them a higher score than me. Okay, great. But the thing is that I could never then get that dispatching experience from Metro Transit, because we don't have that there. The only thing we have that has that is in the control center, and the only way you can do that is if you work in the control center or do this program, which I did, but they don't let you do that specific thing in the program. So it was kind of like, dang, if that's what you get knocked out of the score for, and there's no way to, you know, for me to raise that score without quitting the company and, like, going and getting higher, you know, like a job for the county, and then coming after like a year or 2 years, apply back, and nobody's going to do that, you know, no one's. So it is kind of like, you know, so that was like the thing. And man, like, I was like, man, like, not really stressing. It's kind of like a laughable, you know, whatever. But part of it was, okay, so you don't get picked, but all the people who they did the final interview for get put in a pool that lasts for 6 months. So if anyone leaves that job category or something in the next 6 months, you get moved into it, you know, because you're in the pool. They draw from the pool. So, like, last week, I believe, I was talking to one of the street supervisors, and we were talking about this, and it was like, yeah, blah, 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 and, you know, they were like, man, just go for street supervisor, and, you know, maybe you'll, you know, get that or whatnot. And I was like, yeah, whatever. But at the time, right, so the last couple weeks prior to last week and me speaking with this street supervisor, I had been, like, really, like, becoming content with my current position, you know, like, something had changed since COVID happened, like, that really, like, changed the dynamics of if you're out in the bus and this type of thing. So I didn't, I don't know if it was maybe, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it was seeing, or it seeing the people come back on the bus during or after the initial lockdown of COVID. Because there was a time period when, well, we shut the buses down to a very, very minimal amount of things, and nobody was driving. Nobody was riding the bus. Like, last winter, it was, the buses were, like, pretty much empty. And it was nice driving, but slowly they've become full again, or more full, but not to the capacity that it was prior to COVID. But I think that as people came back and you see, like, the same people that you know and you recognize, and they recognize you too, maybe it's like a positive thing. Like, you're like, oh man, yeah, good seeing you. I'm glad to see that you're healthy. And there's a much more tighter bond feel between the people who are on the street every day. Like, there, it seems to be tighter. And yes, if you've listened to, yes, there are shootings. I mean, if you're like, well, you're in Minneapolis, so it sounds crazy there. And it is, but given all the things that have happened, if you're part of that community, or, you know, like, you're, because you are daily there, you feel tighter with those people. So I had grown, you know, to the extent of being patient. And in our religion, patience is like a huge thing. It's a huge thing. But is there ever, like, too much patience? You know, like, when do you become like, all right, look, I've been patient. Do you continue to be patient and hope that, you know, that thing that you're patiently waiting for to happen happens? Or at what point do you go, okay, let's me move on and do, you know, something that, you know what I mean? Let me, like, tweak the gears a little bit, and see, you know, try to move forward or whatever. And I had become, and I think the transformation, a transformation, or what happens from being patient, is it allowed me, anyway, to see this aspect and to become content with my life, or whatever you want to say, in that moment, right? So there is, like, that thing. So I had been patient, or you might be patient, for a long time and doing whatever. And, like, I did all the steps. So I did everything I could do to get this job, right? And I didn't get it. I guess that's what, like, was initially, like, my initial thing. And there's nothing else more I could do. That was it. Like, I came to the end of it. I did everything I could to get it. I got all the way to the end of the process of hiring, and then I didn't get it. So it's like, oh, you know, that tests your patience. Let me see this article right here. So I just Googled it. About patience. The importance of patience in Islam. So now that I said all that, let's see if any of this article can relate to, you know, all that has just happened. This is from October 15th, 2020. Let me see how long it is. All right, it's not that long. It says on the UK Islamic Mission. Right. In Islam, having patience, sabr in Arabic, comes with many benefits and rewards. Patience is an admirable quality which helps us connect with Allah, speak and act upon the truth, and to endure with strength through hardships. Sabr translates literally as endurance. Oh, that's good. Although it's more accurately likened to perseverance or persistence. It makes up one of two parts of faith, the other being shukr, or which means thankfulness and gratitude. The importance of patience is a recurring theme in the Holy Quran, with the word sabr along with iraz, which translates from Arabic to avoidance, appearing more than 100 times in the scriptures. The teaching of... Okay, so, you know, I'm doing this is nice, you know. And it's nice to see that they do the more, like, correct translation, which is endurance, perseverance, or persistence, which is slightly different than patience. This kind of goes into what I was talking about. Like, how long, you know, do you keep doing it? And that's your perseverance, your persistence. You're trying to accomplish this. Okay, you know, do you have the endurance? Because you're going to need endurance if it's a long, like, this was, like, multi-year process that I did here. And so that's why I was like, I'm done. You know, like, at this point, all right, so in my story here, when it got up to this, I was like, you know what, I'm done. After this 6-month pool ends, I don't think I'm going to apply again, because I have applied multiple times and I did everything I can do. I can't do anything else more to get, you know, unless I maybe interviewed differently or whatever. But now it came down to if someone, and this is what I think anyway, and I don't know, but if someone had, you know, that type of experience that I couldn't get, then they're always going to win, you know, over me. The teaching of patience and sabr. Patience in Islam is not about adopting a passive attitude, which is what I was hinting at. This is a better term. Like, how long do you just going to sit and wait for that, you know? The Quran does not teach us to remain silent, but neither does it encourage confrontation. Life is a mix of challenges, with everyone having the freedom to do as they wish and live the life that they see fit. This, of course, means that there will be times when another person's freedom is not compatible with our own. However, only Allah has the power to take that freedom away. This is not something that any human has, and this must be respected. Instead, this means showing patience, sabr to any challenges faced, and managing patience to face them successfully. Doing so brings reward in the eyes of Allah. I mean, I don't really, I think they could have, I don't know who their audience is for this, but I don't know if this is like, because this is on their website, if this is just like a public thing, because they're kind of like throwing in, you know, kind of like modern day freedoms and all this, because these are hot topic issues of today. So, I don't know. There is no altering the creation of God. Oh, they have a verse here under that. Before that, it says, indeed, he who fears Allah and is patient, then indeed Allah does not allow to be lost the reward of those who do good. So, I'm curious here. I'm curious because a lot of times they write, and this is in English, so they don't have the Arabic here too. A lot of times they use the word fear. So it says here, indeed he who fears Allah. But yeah, I want to see what word this is. In Arabic. Let's see if I can find it. Alright. So they said it's Surah Yusuf, Ayat 90. This is it here. Alright, so let's see these other translations. Okay, yeah, this is better. Okay, let me see. So this one, by this first translation, they said, this guy, Dr. Khali, translated to say, surely whoever is pious and endures patiently, then surely Allah does not waste the reward of the good doers. There's a summer, whoever it is. So that's weird they use this, because this translation says, the Yusuf Ali translation says, I'll read the whole verse, because it's about Joseph. They said, which is the beginning, they said, art thou indeed Joseph? He said, I am Joseph, and this is my brother. Allah has indeed been gracious to us. Behold that he is righteous and patient. Never will Allah suffer the reward to be lost of those who do right. That's a way better, nicer translation into English that takes into context more stuff. And then this Sahi, this one here, I wonder if this is kind of what they used. They said, are you indeed Joseph? He said, I am Joseph, and this is my brother. Allah has certainly favored us. Indeed, he who fears Allah and is patient, then indeed. All right, so there they used fear. And then in this other translation, it says, indeed, whoever fears Allah and remains patient. Yeah, so here, I'm trying to read it in Arabic and see, like, what it says. So they put, they translate it as fear Allah. This is, the word is, yataq, and, this is what I was looking forward to see if I was, like, thinking. So they always translate this as to fear, like, and you'll hear people say, ittaqallah, which means, like, what they are translate to mean, like, fear Allah, think. But really, when you think about this term, and I learned this from when I was living in Morocco, and you can see now how things can be twisted, right? And for people who, like the people who are learning this as a second language or that type of thing, people, like, when you're said, like, fear Allah, you know, like, that's like a term that people say in English, but in Arabic they're saying ittaqullah. And I'm saying here, and you can see by these other translations, that this doesn't mean fear in the sense that we mean fear. Like, you're not afraid of Allah. You're not fearing him in that sense with this word, right? And how this came to be is someone in Morocco, a guy asked me, how do you say fear, right? Or how do you, he wanted to know either fear or something like this. And I said, oh, you mean like, how would you say fear Allah? And I said, Ittaqullah. And he was like, no, that's not fear. Which then made me like, kind of like, be like, oh, it's not fear. Like after I sat and like looked into it, it's more like be God conscious, like be conscious of God. And that's what you're trying to attain in Islam in general, is that taqwa is what you're trying to attain, like God consciousness. That's what you're by doing the actions of Islam, the result is this, God consciousness. And then when you want to remind people to think, like be conscious of Allah, like now you don't have to, it's not like fear, but the conscious being conscience might make you be a little fearful, you know, like, oh yeah, like, am I doing something wrong, bad here or something? Oh, wait, hold on, you know. But it's not strictly like fear Allah. And well, that terminology, like in that English might work someplace else, maybe. But here in the US, that's a different connotation than God can't be conscious of Allah, you know. So that is that. Yeah, so I don't think, like I was saying, I kind of think that's a bad translation of doing that. And I don't like how they put that. Yeah, so back again to that UK article, UK, it says, indeed, he who fears Allah is impatient. It just makes, like, when they always write it like this in English, this to me is the translator's bias. So he is interpreting it as fear. And maybe that's the result of how the concept of this plays out to him, right? But it's not, my thing is like this creates a very be scared of God, you know, mindset. As opposed to being like, you know, being scared of God is different than being conscious of God, right? So that's my point. So I don't like when they put these in, especially in something like this, if it's trying to be like attractive to people who want to embrace the religion. And I was listening to I was listening to something yesterday or the day before, and they were talking about this actual aspect in that the religion, like the way that the outreach is done is not through I feel, it makes me feel good. You know, it's more like a very analytical and proof thing driven. And while that's great, you know, like people are like, okay, like, I think that sounds, that's the most logical, the most rational, but what's it going to do for me? What's in it for me? You know, and how do I feel better? You know, and it's unfortunate that, you know, people might think this way, but it is also a reality. Like how doing this should make your life better, right? That's what we're saying. You know, that's like, why else would you want to practice any religion if you didn't feel this way? But, you know, practicing Islam theoretically should improve your life, not make it worse. Anyway, let me continue this and see if it gives me any more things to enlighten me about patience-ness, because maybe I'm just not being patient right here. There is no altering the creation of God. All prophets adopted this same attitude because there is, quote, there is no altering the creation of God, end quote, which is from the Quran as well. Al-Rum, Surah 30, Ayat 30. Allah is the original creator of the heavens, the earth, and all those who live in it. It's not for any human to attempt to change the creation. To adapt the same values of the prophets means adopting the culture of patience and avoidance. Well, look at that phone. Hold on. So I have a landline phone. And I just have it for emergencies. So we don't ever use it. And I don't even think we've ever given the phone number out for it. So every now and then it'll ring like that, which is obviously some sort of telemarketing robocall. But yeah, so let's go back to this. I just went over and hung it up. To adopt the same values of the prophets means adopting the culture of patience and avoiding confrontation where possible. There is beauty in all of Allah's creation, and we must see the positive more than the negative. Okay, yeah. I'm kind of curious where this is going because it's talking a lot about culture and, like, people's rights. So, I mean, this is obviously placating to modern-day things that are going on. Finding a way through patience in Islam. All right, let's see here then. We can adopt the teachings of the Holy Quran into our life, into our way of life in many ways, guiding us now and into the hereafter. A physical journey, whether you are walking, driving, or otherwise, is rarely a straight line from point A to B, with many twists and turns that require, for one reason or another. Think about this in terms of personal and professional development. There will always be hardships along the way, and it is how we deal with these setbacks, displaying patience, which endures. We can see a difficult situation from all angles and gain experience for the future. Confrontation rarely gets you anywhere, and conflict, more often than not, closes one door without necessarily opening another. This helps no one. The Quran teaches us to control our anger, as otherwise it will become a distraction. We should adopt a positive mentality in the event of disagreement or provocation. We should remember the power of forgiveness and reconciliation. So, alhamdulillah, this is, general good advice. I wish, though, that he would have talked about how. Like, it says, like, the Quran teaches us to control our anger and otherwise, as otherwise it will become a distraction. I wish they would have pointed someplace in the Quran, like where they're kind of showing that. I mean, in general, yeah, you can see this. And there is a famous story where Ali, who is a very well-known Muslim, they were in the battle, and he was going to, I believe it was Ali who was attributed to doing this. Ali is just straight up incredible. Incredible dude. Alhamdulillah, high in the ranks of Islam, and fought a lot. But in one battle, he knocked a guy down or something and had control of him and was up in his face and was about to cut him, but it would have hit his face, and he stopped and said that had he was striking him out of anger, not out of for the sake of Allah. Like, it switched his point of fighting, switched from fighting for the sake of Allah to fighting with his own emotions and anger. You know, and in Islam, we're not allowed to desecrate a person's face even when we're fighting. You know, so all that kicked in and he had to stop himself. And, you know, that was the point. He was like, at that point, he was fighting, you know, because of his own anger. So we see that, you know, that's a direct evidence how to control our anger, you know, and that thing. And unfortunately, like, majority of us, you know, in such situations would give in right to being angry. So, discover the truth. Let's see. Part of sabr is the discovery of truth, which is why patience in Islam is not simply sitting away in a corner and allowing the world to pass you by. Life presents many challenges, and unfortunately, there remains those who face many more challenges than the average person. Those that suffer from poverty and war face the biggest challenges of all, and the discovery of this truth as well taking action to help purifies the soul. With our charity appeals, all right, yeah, so this isn't really about patience, I guess. This is some weird article. With our charity appeals, UK Islamic Mission works tirelessly to ensure that the people in need are safe, the people most in need are safe and well in the most desperate of times. Prophet Muhammad teaches us that it is not enough to recite the words of the Quran, but to not act upon them. Without the discovery of truth, there is no awakening, and without your continued kind donations, there is no support for innocent lives. All right, well, that was not a waste, but it had some good points in it. But like I said, it was feeding to something, and it's mainly to charity. You know, the problem, though, with charity and these types of things, particularly in the UK, but in America as well, is that the money doesn't go to, like, the people. Like, they always send it back to, like, the Middle East or something, these other countries. And it's like, yo, I mean, that's great, I'm doing that, but what about, like, us here, you know? And I don't want to, just mentioning that, I can go on a massive tangent about issues regarding this and how, you know, what, how the Muslims were different in the past. And maybe I'll just make that a topic or just end here and continue that into the next one. But yeah, that's my thing. And so with patience, alhamdulillah, I guess I had patience and it paid off in the end. But I think with regards to what was going on with my kid, and all this, having the patience, like I said, forced me to have a different perspective. Like, it kindly was like, okay, the more patience I had, the more, I don't know, maybe ego gets chipped away and you become more humble, right? Until I was like, all right, I get it, I'm content, you know, and this is cool, I can deal with this. And then once that happened, literally like the next day or the next day, alhamdulillah, I got an email, go get your stuff done. I go the next day, I do my stuff. A couple hours later, here's the job offer, you know, so take it for what it is. That's kind of what my whole point of this whole thing was becoming content in your situation. So with that, I'll end it. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, next week. So this is my last week of driving, inshallah. I transfer out on Saturday and I go to the new one on Monday. So we'll see how that goes. Thanks for listening. Assalamu alaikum. Have a good day.